Good evening, Louise here. I hope you're well. I've been reading the Sermon on the Mount recently, and I've been profoundly challenged by those words of Jesus that we perhaps know really well in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. And over the years, I've read them in a number of different versions. And tonight, I want to remind you of some of the words, but from a different version than perhaps we're used to hearing them from, the Message version. I thought I'd share something that has stuck with me after I read it last week. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 48 from the Message Bible. And are you ready? Because these are challenging words. Here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere? Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues you for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. But I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anyone can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner can do that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives towards you. Gosh, there's a demanding discipleship in there. In just the first few lines, don't hit back, stand there and take it. Gift wrap your best coat, be a servant, live generously. Gosh, none of that is easy, is it? Gift wrap your best coat. I was rather taken by that phrase as I was reading it. Not just give away your coat, but do that with a flourish of love and generosity and gifting towards others. There's a level of giving, of sacrificialness and costliness that is demanded here. And that's when it begins to feel harder to our ears and to our pockets. Would you class yourself as a generous person? And what would that usually look like in your life? I think I'm a generous person. If you're doing a sponsored something, I'll chuck you a quid or two. I love to buy people presents and write people cards. I might do your shopping for you if you ask nicely. I'm a dab hand at writing a job reference. But they're easy things. Easy to do and offerings that cost me nothing. Is that really generosity? If it's easy. That's not the sense I get from these words of Jesus in his call to be kingdomly generous. and not to hold back. What would that look like now in these lockdown lives, in this time of separateness that we're called to be and do on behalf of others? How could you be more consciously generous to one another in our stepping out of ourselves and thinking of others? I've always found the words of the Sermon on the Mount really challenging, about living distinctive lives as salt and light that illuminate and flavour our homes, our families, our communities, lives that look godly and Christ-shaped. And I don't think I've got that right, far from it. It's an everyday discipleship and discipline. There's so much in that short passage we heard that I find hard to do, that's countercultural, that goes against the grain of how we have been brought up in this Western world. They're provocative words. And they were in Jesus' day as well. In the New International Version of the Bible, Matthew 5:41 might be a bit more familiar than the words we heard in the Message. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Now that might not sound onerous until you hear the context. The first mile was mandated by law. In the law, a Roman soldier was allowed to force a person to carry their backpack for a Roman mile. That's about 1,000 paces. Remember when Simon of Cyrene was made to carry Jesus' cross? It's the same thing. No one liked to be forced to carry anything for a Roman soldier. Remember, this is a nation under occupation, but rules are rules. 1 mile is mandated by law. The second mile is mandated by love, says Jesus. Don't just begrudgingly do what's required of you. Literally go the extra mile. Show countercultural and out of the box ordinary, out of the ordinary generosity because of who you are shaped by, because of love. Well, Jesus certainly knew about going the second mile mandated by love. That's surely what he did when he willingly chose to give up his life on the cross. Even though that was hard, even though that was an agonizing decision in the Garden of Gethsemane, he agreed to do what the Father asked of him so we could be freed from sin and be given the opportunity to be called children of God. I don't know anything that could greater show the out of the ordinary generosity of love. Greater love has no one but to lay down one's life for one's friends, says John 15 verse 13. We're called to that greater love. And that's what we've been asked to do in recent days. Every time we put on a face mask, every time we hand sanitize our hands yet again, every time we create a bit more space than we would like, the things we don't like to do, the things that go against the grain of what we think are normal, is the extra mile for us here and now. Because we're mandated by love to live generously. The second part of our reading is just as challenging. Jesus is teaching about retaliation, about loving our enemies, about who we are when the rubber hits the road and we're really pushed. You'll know what that's like. What do we do when our buttons are pushed? when something has annoyed us and got our goats. And you'll know what that looks like for you. I certainly know what that looks like for me. In those red hot moments of confrontation and battle and valleys, Jesus reminds us it's time to hit the pause button, to take a deep breath and a quiet prayer for the audacity to live generously and forgiving. You might think all this teaching about the extra mile, about turning the other cheek, about not rising to the bait, makes us a bit spiritual doormats, weak and meek, but far from it. It's an opportunity for God-centeredness. We heard this from the message in verse 48. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up, your kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. Grow up, or as the NIV says, be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's about spiritual maturity. Do you look like your Father? Rebecca looks like her dad more than she looks like me. She has his hair, his teeth, his feet. But I know that when she gets animated and starts telling a story, when she's telling us what happened in her day at school, when she's watching Gogglebox and laughing hysterically, and when she's out shopping, and unconsciously, she feels the fabric of the clothes as she passes by. In those moments, I know that she's my daughter because I do all those things. Our passage asks us how much we are like our Father. Not do you have his chin, but more do you have his heart. Can people look at your life and see the same features in you that they see in our Heavenly Father? Can people look at you and see glimpses of your Father in heaven? Do they look at us and go, Christ-like? I know what the answer is in my life. What would you say of yours? Because we're all influenced by who and what fills our lives. And the challenge is, are we consciously or not copying Jesus? Are we being changed into his likeness and shaped through his power? That's my challenge for me in these lockdown days. Maybe it's your challenge too. Mother Teresa said, following Jesus is simple, but not easy. Love until it hurts, and then love some more. So friends, it would seem that love truly is the movement that we are being challenged to belong to, even when that is sacrificial, even when that makes generosity look difficult, to love audaciously as Jesus loved us, as the Father made a way on the cross for us. Love as we are loved. To be the kind of love that changes the world. I'm challenged continuously by the Sermon on the Mount. And these words from the Message version have brought them to life in a fresh new way for me this week. Perhaps this week, sit down with that and read it. May we all find ways to be the people that God has created us to be the people we're called to be, to love and to connect our community to Christ, who loved them so very much that he died for them. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus on the cross, of the example of unconditional love and generosity. That he did not count the cost but went to the cross so that we could become yours. Holy Spirit, would you help us love like you love? Would you help us be shaped to be more like Jesus? In these hard days of more lockdown, could you show us what that might look like in our lives? In the people we interact with, virtually, online, and in real life, could you show us how to love like you love? Holy Spirit, would you convict and challenge us when we are not doing that? And may our lives bring you glory, Lord God, as you continue to build your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.